Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. A glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back to Perspectives. We're in our second segment this evening on a Sunday. It's a beautiful evening outside. And, you know, when you're always wondering what to do, what's good, what's hot, where to go, where to be seen, the events to be a part of, the charity events to also, you know, contribute to, as well as the red carpet events. If that's what you're interested in, then you're definitely interested in this segment. Get out and about with Cynthia Smoot. Hi, Cynthia. How you doing tonight?
Hey, Ashley. I'm great.
What's going on with you?
Well, I'm just enjoying my Labor Day weekend, and I'm excited to have the day off tomorrow. How about you?
Well, me too. I'm very excited. It's a wonderful Labor Day weekend. And, you know, we were talking about this earlier. You know, September is the biggest month of the year for fashion. I mean, you look at anything, and it's the fashion month of the year. Can you tell us about where we could find some really neat shopping events and things to do?
Absolutely. Well, listen, this Thursday will be Fashion's Night Out. Now, this event started in 2009. Legendary Vogue editor Anna Wintour wanted to help the fashion industry out in Manhattan. The country was in a recession, and the fashion industry was really in a slump. And so she came out with this awesome idea to create this event where it wasn't just, you know, come out and get a gift with purchase, but really where every store would have a major party with designer appearances and DJs and champagne and exclusive offers. And so that idea was so successful that it's branched out to other cities and really gone all around the world. So we're in its fourth year, and it'll be this Thursday. So stores all across the Metroplex will be hosting parties where you can hear live music and DJs, get in-store special discounts and promotions and gifts with purchases. Just all kinds of fun things. It's going to be a great night to grab your girls and head on out to the shops.
That's awesome. You know, Cynthia, you know, tell us where we can actually go in Dallas that we can go to be a part of the Fashion Night Out.
Well, stores all over the Metroplex will be hosting parties, but I'm going to tell you what's happening at what I call the three powerhouses, which is the Galleria, Highland Park Village, and North Park. So first up would be the Galleria, and one of the things that they're known for is they have a quarter-mile runway that really goes from one end of the Galleria to the other, and it's anchored by a VIP lounge on either end. So you can literally see models stomping the catwalk in those 6-inch stilettos from one end of the Galleria to other, wearing all of the season's hottest fashions. And the thing that the Galleria is doing this year to sort of set themselves apart is that they have partnered all of their local retailers with charities. And so a portion of proceeds from a lot of stores will go to benefit local charities around Dallas. So, for instance, the North Texas Suicide and Crisis Center will be with Bockendorf's, and DIFA will be with Saks Fifth Avenue. So it's a great way, you know, I think Dallas loves to shop for a cause, and this is one way that you can do it. Also, at Highland Park Village, they're going to have outdoor runway shows at 7 and 9, and shoppers can also enter to win a $2,000 shopping spree at any of the retailers on site. So what's not to love about that?
Now, that sounds incredible, but you know what? I think a lot of people want to know this one thing. Where are you going to be on Fashion Night Out?
Well, I'm really excited this year to be partnered with North Park Center, and I'll be starting my night at Aveda. They're going to be offering complimentary blowouts and makeup touch-ups. Then readers and listeners can find me at the runway shows that will be held at North Park Center at 6, 7, and 8 p.m. It's where that big red statue is by the movie theater escalators that everybody knows. That's where the runway is going to be. And then in between, I'm just going to be running from one end of North Park Center to the other. I'm their live blogger on the scene, so I'm going to be tweeting and Instagramming and Facebook posting and just showing everybody what's out there and what celebrities I run into and what's happening. One of the stores that's going to be the busiest will be Neiman Marcus, and they've got some fun things going on. Fendi is reissuing 6 styles of the iconic handbag that was made famous by Carrie Bradshaw from Sex and the City. Manolo Blahnik's going to be holding a trunk show in the shoe salon. And, Ashley, there is something for the men, because on level one, they're going to have cigar rollers and a scotch tasting and a DJ. So if I were you, I'd leave your man there, because he'll be perfectly happy while you're upstairs buying shoes and trying on clothes.
Hey, the cigars and the scotch for the guy sounds pretty good. I like that. You know, but I heard a little birdie, somebody told me that you're personally giving away something kind of big at this event.
Yes, North Park Center and I have put together a VIP swag bag. It's got almost $3,000 worth of just luxury items and beauty gear and just all kinds of amazing stuff. And how you register to win is really just by being social, getting on those social networks. So I want to see what you think are the best in fall fashions. I want to see pictures of you and your girls out shopping. So all you have to do is take a picture with your phone, post it to Facebook or Twitter, and tag North Park Center. And every single photo that you post will be an entry to win. So it's gonna, you know, the more social you are, the more photos you post and tag North Park, the more entries you have to win this amazing prize. So I hope everybody grabs some friends and comes out to the mall on Thursday, September 6th. It's going to be a super fun night out.
I agree with you. And, you know, shopping is a great thing. But for those people that really want to do something for a good cause, is there something coming up this week for that?
Absolutely. Well, the week's going to end up with one of Dallas's most outlandish charity luncheons, which is the Celebrity Waiter Luncheon, benefiting Family Gateway. This event is, like, legendary for its craziness. So on Friday, September 7th, the Ritz-Carlton will host this entertaining and lively luncheon where local business and media and entertainment and sports personalities volunteer as celebrity waiters, and they serve guests for this great cause. And each table sponsor hosts 10 guests, so every table has a celebrity waiter. And the waiters do crazy things, like they'll steal your silverware, or they, you know, they sing, they dance, they just do all kinds of antics to help raise money. Last year I went, and when we walked in, there were no chairs at our table. And our celebrity waiter said, well, you guys paid for a table, but you didn't pay for chairs. So we all had to give $10 to get a chair. So it's just really fun stuff like that. It raises money for a great cause. And if you're interested in attending, you can go to familygateway.org to get more information.
Something that always comes to my mind, you know, in Dallas, for sure, is the symphony. When I think of the symphony, I think of, you know, Yo-Yo Ma. And I love saying that, Yo-Yo Ma.
Isn't that the best name?
It's awesome. Tell us a little bit about... he's going to be in town on
Saturday night. The Dallas Symphony Orchestra will hold their annual gala. And there's really three parts to this event. There's a sit-down dinner, but you have to buy a table for that. Or you can just buy a ticket to the concert to see world-renowned cellist Yo-Yo Ma. And then after the concert is a really fun after-party. And Lucy Rubel will be DJing. And this is really kind of where the younger generation comes in. So it's really fun to see, you know, everything from 20-somethings to people in their 60s and 70s out dancing on the dance floor. So it's a great cause, supporting the arts. Tickets start at around $150 for the concert or the after party, and you can get more information on the symphony's website.
Cynthia, what about for those people that, you know, they like all that other stuff, but they would really kind of just like to have a drink? What do you think?
Well, you know, not everything has to be black tie, and sometimes you just want to go out in your jeans and, you know, like no makeup and just be casual and hang out, sling back a cocktail or two. So there's a great festival going on this weekend called the Untapped Beer Festival, and it's going to take place on Saturday, September the 8th at the New Trinity Groves and feature indie beer along with a host of indie music, including acts like The Givers, The Antlers, Burning Hotels, all kinds of indie bands. This is going to be one of the first events to take place at Trinity Grove, which is just on the other side of the Calatrava-designed Margaret Hunt Hill Bridge, affectionately known as Large Marge. The VIP tickets are being sold for $60, and that'll get you early access in an hour before the gates open to the public. And then the gates open at 11 a.m. So you can get VIP for $60. General admission tickets are $30. But, I mean, you know, $30, what a great way to just go out, drink some beer, hear some music in this brand-new Trinity Groves area, which I think is just going to be a fantastic new addition to the Dallas scene. So that sounds like a lot of fun, and hopefully the weather will be great for that.
Well, thank you, Cynthia. And for our listeners, if you've missed anything that Cynthia has talked about, you can go to ohsocynthia.com. Again, ohsocynthia.com. And we appreciate you, Cynthia. We hope you have a good rest of your Labor Day weekend.
Happy holiday to you, and I'll see you next Sunday.
Have a good one.
Bye.
So I always learn something when I listen to Cynthia. You always hear some really great stuff about what's going on in Dallas. And if you didn't think something was going on, you find out all kinds of things. So go check out her website if you missed any of that, or if you want to hear or look at other things that are, she's got all kinds of stuff on there and she's in the know. But joining us tonight is one of my favorite people. His name is Joe Patrica. Joe is the Executive Vice Dean of American Film Institute. And he holds a master's in screenwriting from AFI, as well as film production from NYU. He oversees the administrative functions for the AFI Conservatory, all the national workshops and all the special projects. He directly oversees the directing workshop for women that AFI does every year, which is a big deal, the Sloan Foundation and Catalyst Workshop. He provides also legal and business affairs oversights of the AFI Conservatory Productions. He's also a screenwriter. He's got feature screenplays options as working with Robert Osborne and Turner Classic Movies. And he's taught and spoken at film festival, trade shows, and colleges around the world. As a film critic, he wrote for the K-Set website and an art director. He's worked on numerous TV, film, music videos, and commercial projects. As a producer, he has produced several short films in industry and music videos. He volunteered taught screenwriting and filmmaking to an at-risk Los Angeles teenagers for 7 years. And he's been awarded the Cavalier Academic Palms from the French government for his contributions in Los Angeles to French cinema. Gosh, wow. Joe has got it going on. He's one of my favorite people. And thank you so much for joining us, Joe. Are you on the phone?
I am on the phone.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm better now. I'm glad to have you.
You've read the whole bio. That's great.
It's amazing. Gosh, wow, I wish my bio was that long.
Yeah, I've got a few years, so.
Well, they're like, okay, there's one sentence on it. So, you know, a lot of people, I know for a fact that a lot of our listeners are interested in the film industry anyway, and then you got a lot of people that are interested in the film industry from a perspective of wanting to be involved in it. You know, what really drew you in the beginning to film in the first place?
I guess I'm sure psychologically it had something to do with escape or escapism. I grew up in Buffalo, New York. There's, you know, not really a whole lot of filmmaking going on there. But there are long winters where everyone goes to the movies just to keep warm and have something to do. And it was just always something that I loved. I guess my parents were big movie watchers, my extended family. I remember going to drive-ins and going to, like, event movies when Sound of Music would come back into the theaters for the first time in 10 years. You know, this was before DVDs and video. So I guess that's how I fell in love with movies.
As a child, what were some of your favorite films?
Probably the obvious ones, Wizard of Oz or Willy Wonka. You know, those kind of movies, I think when I was a little kid, just seemed great and kind of fantastic and magical or something. And then as I got older, you know, I started liking other, you know, action or drama or other genres. But when I was a little kid, I always liked, you know, The Wizard of Oz. I always liked Willy Wonka. I always liked those big family children's movies, Sound of Music, that kind of stuff.
Who doesn't? I love Willy Wonka.
What about you? What was yours?
I love Willy Wonka, the original one, not the redo.
I'm with you, the original one.
One of my favorite films is Field of Dreams.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to think what else I like. I mean, I like so much, but, you know, I like some kind of corny films like My Blue Heaven.
Right. But, I mean, that's the thing, is, like, everyone could have a favorite, and they can all be different, and everyone's right.
That's true. Nobody's wrong.
Exactly.
And you can't make fun of anybody for the films they like.
Right.
See,
I mean, that's why AFI did this 100 years, 100 movies thing for like 10 years where they made lists of the top 100 movies, the top, you know, 50 actors, 50 actresses, so on and so forth. And those lists, while they are really great, you know, ways to remember movies or decide which one's your favorite, they're just a way to, you know, start the conversation of, no, they're wrong. My favorite movie is this.
No, I guess you're right, because everybody would kind of argue it. No, that can't be in the top 100.
Exactly.
Or where's mine at?
That's the thing about it. It brings movies and film into the you know, national conversation, into the cultural sort of bandwidth.
And anytime you ask somebody their favorite film, everybody's got 5 or 10 to tell you.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool. So obviously you have been a film, and I hate to use the word buff, but you've been a real big film goer since you were a kid,
right,
for obvious reasons. So what brought you, though, directly to AFI? Was it because you went to school there, or what brought you to school there in the first place?
I was always, you know, even as a young kid, interested. I mean, I guess I started out interested in photography and then quickly jumped into film or filmmaking. But there wasn't a whole lot of filmmaking in Buffalo. All there was really, really out there experimental film, you know, really sort of fine art, non-narrative, crazy images, fine art, experimental film. But since that's all there was, I sort of hung out in that crowd because it was film, at least. But then I first went to college at the Art Institute of Chicago, spent a year there, and it was the same sort of experimental film thing. But I wanted to get into making the films that I loved, the films that I saw in the movie theater. So I went to NYU, studied film there. When I first got out, I worked in music videos and some sort of production work. But then, you know, you need to pay rent. So I was working in advertising at the department store Lord & Taylor and wanted to get back to film. So I thought I should go to graduate school. So, and then you think, go to graduate school, get into film. It's probably the good time to go to Los Angeles. Because even in New York, there's not as much filmmaking and film happening as Los Angeles. So I applied to grad school and actually through a, you know, rigorous kind of selection and interview process, got into a couple of schools, but actually AFI ended up being my first choice after interviews in the selection process. And I was happy to come out to LA, and it was a great sort of intro to the city and way to get to know people and get to know the industry a little bit in sort of a safe environment.
I remember going out to LA years ago, and I was going to go to film school, and I actually interviewed with AFI, and I loved it. It was like it was one of the coolest places. And then after that, you know, I hate to say that the trail where everybody goes, and then you go check out USC.
Of course, you check the other schools in town, like you have to.
And you do that, and then USC, the only thing they said is, you don't want to go to AFI. And I was thinking, okay, well, then that means that AFI is probably the place to go. You know, because they never talk about somebody that's, you know, below them. They only talk about their exact enemy, you know, and it was funny how they were talking about it. They're like, well, if you want to do more independent, then you want to go there. And I'm thinking, well, everybody that's come out of there is pretty good, so I don't know. As far as AFI is concerned, it's a pretty good school, but, you know, I didn't do either, and I stayed in Dallas, so there you go.
But you're not doing too badly yourself, so.
Well, thank you. I'm going to take that as a pat on the back right there. So that's pretty cool. I mean, what do you do? Can you explain to our listeners what you do at AFI as the executive vice dean?
Everything from giving recruitment presentations at colleges or film festivals around the country to figuring out what the budget needs to be for the next 5 years, to working with accreditation, which, you know, schools and colleges need to be these days, so that students can qualify for financial aid and can verify that it's not just a, you know, racket selling degrees. Hiring faculty, you know, teaching business and legal affairs on our thesis films. So the great thing is every day is something different. Every day you never know what you're going to be doing. It's not just a series of meetings or moving paper from the left side of your desk to the right side of your desk. It's in the morning you might be looking at new equipment that someone wants to donate or that we have to figure out how we can afford to invest in. In the afternoon it could be meeting a filmmaker who's coming to campus to talk about their new film. So there's always something kind of exciting and interesting to do.
You brought up a good point earlier when you said that, you know, when you had gone to NYU and then you decided after working with Lord & Taylor that the right thing to do would be to go to graduate school and go to AFI.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we come back after this short break, we're going to be switching gears and talking about people that have passion. We all have passion for something, the arts or what have you. And how do you really juggle and balance, you know, the artist's life with paying the bills? So everybody hold on real quick, and Perspectives will be right back after this short recess.